It is a good day. It's a Remembrance Day, and I think that this is a very important day, of course, for our history, for our veterans and those that we have still with us from World War II. We're welcoming today Harvey Mayhill, one of our favorite veterans who comes in and speaks with us often on many great things. Good morning to you. And he's brought a special guest with us today. We have Herbert Dixon. Good morning to Herbert. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Very nice to see you today. It's really great.
And Herbert's relative by marriage is also here, James. And James, thank you so much. You can watch all three of these good-looking men on Comporium Cable, Channel 103, in addition to listening to us as well. But Herbert, we'll start with you. You're 93 years old.
Yes.
What an impressive life, sir. Talk about what D-Day means to you today. What kind of memories do you have about on this day?
About D-Day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we was in England, and I'll remember when we got up that morning, and of course, we was all getting prepared, you know, we knew it was going to eventually come, and I remember like it was yesterday, our captain got up and had us all stand up out there, and I remember what he said. He said, "The cash register has rung." And that was the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
We started getting ready to try to go over there, from that point on.
You can laugh at that statement now. At the time, was
very serious.
Yeah, was there any laughing, or did it give you any kind of
grant? You'd laughed a little bit now, but back then, there's just a big frown on your face.
Sure, yeah.
No doubt. At your age at that time, were you 19? Were you 19 years old when you were there?
I was 20, I believe.
Okay.
I was 20 at that time.
How do you look back at 20-year-olds in our society today and think, I was that age, and I wonder about, were you a very mature 20 years old? Did you feel like you had the world tiger by the tail? Did you feel like you were very knowledgeable about the world?
We didn't think about things like that. The only thing we thought about picking blackberries and stuff like that. But anyway, we were just like all other little kid teenagers out playing ball and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you got to leave England, when did you leave England to go to France? Did you get a chance to go to those beaches later on?
Yeah, we went over, but we started right then, but it took us forever to even get over there, and I don't even remember. I've got it right here. Whenever we finally got to France, it took us forever to even to get there.
Wow!
Because the channel was so bad,
it
was just we were just even lucky to if he had made it over there.
Wow.
There were so many ships that really didn't even make it. Over there, they got lost out there.
Mm.
And if we hadn't been in a light ship and had the bottom full of tanks that held us, I don't believe we'd have ever made there.
Was there a lot of debris in the ocean?
It was stuff everywhere.
Mm. Oh.
Herbert, can you talk about...
Well, you couldn't see all that at that time, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the plane story you were telling us just a few minutes ago about seeing the planes overhead and how many planes and how long it took?
All day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Took all day. I think it's 2300.
Mm.
Well, you can call now, right now, on your machine and ask them what happened
on the internet
on that day, and they'll tell you exactly what happened that day and probably how many planes and what they bombed and everything else.
Is that the Battle of the Hedgerows?
No, that was the Battle of St. Lo,
okay.
The town of St. Lo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Harvey Mayhill, again, just a voice for so many veterans here in our community. And we were talking just during the commercial break. This is a day that appears on a lot of calendars. We will take a few minutes to kind of remember about it, and then it kind of goes away. What do you want folks to remember? What can we do on dates like this that are so important to our history and especially to our veterans, like on D-Day?
Well, just take the time to visit with a senior veteran and find out a little bit about what they've been through. Some of them won't want to talk about it. Some of them can't emotionally. Mm-hmm. But when they feel like they can, listen to them. Just take a little bit of time to find out some things that happened. Remember, back 70-some years ago, we didn't have internet.
Mm-mm.
We just barely had telephones. And this invasion was planned a long time ahead. And they used the moon, and they used the tide currents. And there's only a few days in the month where they could actually make this landing. And it was supposed to have been done on the 4th, but Eisenhower finally said, we're going to do it on the 6th. It's still rough seas, but this is our window. Mm. And so there was more than 5,000 ships and over 4,000 ship-to-shore craft that went aboard on the beaches. And in today's society, you have to take a look back at what they had to work with then.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget the fathers and the grandfathers that provided our freedom. And D-Day, what does it mean today? A lot of people don't have any idea. But if it had not happened, we'd probably be speaking different languages. Mm. We would have different lifestyles today. Mm-hmm. So our hats are off to gentlemen like Herbert here.
Amen.
And thank you for your service, sir.
Yes, Herbert. Absolutely. Thank you so much. When did you return to America after being in France?
When I get back over here, I think it was the 16th day of December 1945.
Mm. Okay.
I got it all. Mm-hmm. I should have brought that paper because it got every movement, every step I took.
Okay.
It's all on it.
That's all right.
And I bet those blackberries were ready for picking.
They were.
That's true, right. And what was your life like when you got back here? What did you do for employment, family life? Talk about that.
I went to work up in Greensboro, North Carolina, for Central Motor Lines.
Okay. Were you married at the time?
No.
Okay. Where did you meet your wife?
When I first got out, I worked at the bleachery for about a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And on the way to work that one night, we stopped at, we always stopped and picked, got us a Coke or something or other before we got in there. And they had a little jukebox back in the back. And she and a good friend of mine was, and a bunch of them was in there dancing. And that's where I met her.
Wow.
What's her name?
Her name was Irma Fritton. Oh, she had moved here from Kansas.
Oh.
And her, yeah.
And the rest is history.
You're an eligible bachelor.
James?
I'll interject on that.
I'm sorry.
The actual barn where that barn dance was going on is across from Ollie's.
Yes.
The Red Barn.
I'm very familiar with that.
That's
yes.
where they met.
Wow.
How wonderful.
Yeah, that's where it was, yeah.
Yeah, and James, talk about just hearing some of these stories and, you know, as we're the younger demographic as well and how important it is just to spend time to talk to our veterans and what you've learned about your family.
Oh, certainly. Listening to Herbert tell his stories has been like a wealth of knowledge that, you know, just you get so many different angles and stories of events that you would never have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And even reading in the history books, mm-hmm. you don't get the same perspective. So it's very useful, and it helps you tie in your own, your own into your own makeup, mm-hmm. what you feel and what you know with your family, and helps you bridge that gap between the generations of your own children and your grandfathers and grandmothers. So yeah, it's a neat living history.
Herbert, have you ever gotten in touch with any of your fellow soldiers? Have you been able to keep in touch with them over the years, or did you have any time to meet them?
We had 60 reunions.
Wow.
And my granddaughter, his wife, hosted the last five. And we made her an honorary member of our company. And I've always appreciated what she did for us up there.
Now, if I may just add in something about his granddaughter.
Yeah.
That's Annette Dixon Marlowe. Annette is part of the three ladies that call themselves the Patriotic Ladies of Rock Hill. And they go to various patriotic events dressed in the 1940s style USO uniforms. And his granddaughter was a professional singer out of Nashville. I think some of her music has been played here at this station in the past.
Have I met her before at some of the events? They wear the USO
yes,
outfits.
Yes.
They're adorable girls.
Yes. So that's his granddaughter. And anytime you see the Patriotic Ladies of Rock Hill, make sure that you tell them thank you, because they do it all volunteer. And they do it because of people like her and what he has done to save our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, back on D-Day, thousands and thousands of our troops and our allies have given their lives that day.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them never actually made it across the sand into the to the brush. The beaches were loaded with mines, all kinds of debris, barbed wire, and it was just, to put it bluntly, it was just pure hell on earth.
No doubt.
It was very, very difficult. And people today have no concept of what a gentleman like Herbert has gone through.
What was your job, Herbert? What did the what was your company, and what job did you do?
Well, when we first got into to France, the first thing we did, we went down on to the English Channel, where the Germans had put up all of these barriers to try to slow down the big equipment coming in. We cut out a lot of that big steel there, and we made these big forks, like your hand there, to stick out at a point. And we welded them on the front of the tanks so they could knock holes through those hedgerows to get other equipment through. And right now, one of those things that we made, and I'm almost sure that I had something to do with it, is right now up in the and down in New Orleans at the
museum.
Up there, up on the wall down there now. And there was quite a thing. That, of course, that's where we got them out of the English Channel, the steel that the Germans had put up.
It's amazing.
His particular company, the 505th Ordnance Company, they provided support to the tanks in the field. So he was actually a welder that welded those metal barriers onto the tanks. And those tanks were instrumental in sort of tearing through the hedgerows, which were a great barrier to the tanks. Prior to that, they couldn't travel as freely as they wanted to.
Did you know that that was what you were going to do?
We didn't know that. We just did whatever, you know, happened to come along. We finally wound up not doing anything but just delivering and taking tanks all over the whole country.
What amazing support that you gave to...
What
amazing support you were to the Army there.
You just did what you was asked to do, not what you was told to do. And we was all glad to do it. We just tried to do what, you know, we could. Everybody did, you know, had to.
You did.
It was just the same way.
And what Mr. Dixon is saying is at that time, they followed orders and they didn't question. Today, everybody questions, and why this, why that? Well, just do it, and you'll learn that the seniors or the leaders or the management actually know, in most cases, what they're doing.
That's right.
Because they've been there. They've done that.
So the anniversary today, D-Day, June the 6th, 1944. Herbert Dixon sharing some of these stories like it's yesterday. Do some of these stories seem like it was yesterday, Herbert? You're telling them like I feel like I'm right there with you.
Well,
it's just an amazing storyteller.
Just in the last couple of 3 weeks, I haven't had even thought about this stuff or looked at it, but I've had people coming to me now, and I got one kid coming. He's coming this week, and I couldn't tell him he's wanting to look at all of these pictures and this map that I've got here, my route that we took and all that. And he's wanting his Eagle Scout, and he has to interview so many veterans to be able to get it. And I'm going to try to help him get it because I've got three sons. They got the Eagles, and I'm going to do everything I can to help that young man get his Eagle Scout.
Well, you have a great legacy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, Herbert Dixon. Thank you, Harvey Mayhill. Thanks, James Marlowe, for all the service that you have done, that you continue to do, and thank you so much for your family and what you contribute to Rock Hill.
Well, we appreciate you asking us to be here.
It's always an honor to be here.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Thanks so much for letting us and educating us again about today. Thank you very much.